You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Galatians and chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy love letter, thy word. Thank you for your presence to help us, Spirit of God, as to help us understand that we might have the benefit of that which you have recorded, which you have given, and that we now can exercise. So thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you receive him, John 1:12, and you become a child of God, child of God. And so when you know the Lord as your Savior, you have your relationship to your old nature, to our earthly existence. But we now have a unique relationship to our heavenly existence by the person of Jesus Christ. That happens, Galatians 3. And as you know, just putting it together as we go forward. Verse 26, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized, placed into, immersed into Christ, have put on Christ. Remember, put on is like putting on your clothes. Putting on, putting off your clothes is the verb. And so, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, the Spirit of God placed you into a unique relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are found in him. He is found in the believing heart. Now, and thus, at that moment, you became his, and he became yours. And so, you're put on the dress. You have a wonderful relationship to God in the process, and like we've shared over the different ways, to remind yourself, God does a wonderful thing, and he saves us, and God gives us a brand new relationship. We have the old, we're to exercise the new. We have this wonderful relationship to God to exercise it. Now, we have that, and you have a choice. You already have the old. God isn't changing that till you go. God takes you home to his holy heaven. Then it changes, but not now. So you still got this, but you also have this. So you need to exercise your relationship to God. Because verse 27, put on Christ. You already have this. 3:27. You already have it. You already got this. You also got this. Now, add to that Romans and chapter 13. And in Romans chapter 13, picking up the thought, if I may, and you will note in verse 14, put on ye the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, what are you saying to the believing heart in the light of the gospel, in the light of the good news, chapters 1 through 11, 12, 13? What are you saying? You ought to go and exercise, since God made you a new creature in Christ, you ought to exercise that wonderful newness. 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things have passed away, everything has become new. Exercise it. Exercise it. That's the admonition. And you have up in verse 12, and the night before spent, The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And there's the verb again, to get dressed. And in the light of what we're looking at, the armor of God. And when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, God, we have the whole, all of God's wonderful person in the person of Jesus Christ. We have that relationship to God. Romans chapter 10, and we have that relationship we're to exercise. And in Romans chapter 10, you are reminded in verse 10, chapter 10, verse 2, about the people of Israel, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're very zealous about being religious, but their religion doesn't give them rightness. Therefore, for they are being ignorant, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. How are we going to know that? How do we do that? God has done it for you. God has made that righteousness for you. How am I going to get to be right? Well, you can't get right. God has made it possible for you to get right. When Christ died on the cross, chapter 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He ends the law. He provides the law. He makes it all possible so that when you read 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, God the Father has made the Son everything you need. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He's made everything possible for you in Christ. So when God saved you, he made it possible for you to enjoy the full life of God, period. Barring nothing missing, God provided Christ to be everything to you. Put on Christ. He provides everything that you could possibly ever need in your walk and talk while you're on planet Earth, let alone in God's glorious heaven. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Ephesians and in chapter 4. And in the book of Ephesians, then in chapter 4. And you recall, in verse chapter 4, going, if I may, in verse 21. If so be that you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 22, that purpose you put off, like clothing, put them off, put off your clothing, the old, concerning the former conversation, your way of life, the old man. That's how you lived without God. That's the life of God that we normally have in our old nature. It's still there, which is corrupt according to the deedful lust. And in opposite of keeping your old nature alive. Relax and let it just be ignored as much as you can. Verse 24, and that you put on, there's your verb, to put on like clothes. Put on what? The new man. The old man, that's your old nature. Your new man, you're a new, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're brand new. So, picking up again in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we need to put on our Lord Jesus Christ so that we could be wearing. God made you. God gave you a unique relationship. Exercise the relationship. I'm a child of my father, Aaron. I'm a child of my father, God. I'm both. In my old nature, I'm both. My old nature, my father, Aaron. My new nature, my father, God. I want to honor my father, God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so Christ is the anointed, as we thought, think of Sunday school. He sets you apart for sacred service in a most wonderful way. He provides for you his righteousness. He is the believer's righteousness. All God has done, all God is doing, all God is doing and going to do is right. That's why you put on, Galatians 6, the breastplate of righteousness. Why? Because God had made it possible in Christ to have a life that pleases God and is right. It's the right life for the right reason, and you live it in the right way, and it's just going to be, and you practice it. Thank you, God. Now, having said that in the light, God's wonderful rightness. So our loins, back over to Ephesians 6, and verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Going back to verse 14, having on your loins, the girt about your loins, truth. And you want to have truth. The God of truth and the truth of God. What are you doing? Well, it's true. It's true. The world lies to you. Darkness hates light. Light sees rightly. Darkness doesn't see at all. And light is right. God is right. Truth is right. God is, and the word truth, reality. Remember we had the pencil, I don't see one at the moment, and here's the lead sticking out in the end, and it's true. What you see is the piece, the point, and it's a piece of lead. And it's true. What do you mean? If you sharpen the pencil and go all the way back to the end, it's all the same, all lead. It's the same. It's real all the way through. It doesn't change. It's true. God is true, real. He's right, and God gives you his righteousness. God is true and real, and reality overrides and prevails over all the darkness that hates light. So I gird up my loins with truth into the reality that it's all God, that everything you're doing is wonderful. And therefore, God, I'm going to exercise truth, not a lie, not make-believe. And I'm going to understand in doing so, I'm able to do it rightly. I'm not able to do truth wrongly. I'm going to enjoy truth rightly. Why? Because Jesus Christ, he's my life, and my Jesus Christ into me, for me, is true, he's real, and he's right. And he's always real and always right. And he is my life. He isn't trusting my old nature. He isn't even looking at it. He crucified it. So when I see for rightness, it isn't what I'm saying or doing. No. It's in his wonderful person. How do I know it's real? He's real. He's true. And it stays with me just like that. All of it centered, not something I can take, his truth. And I have truth, I don't have truth. No. He is the truth. He is the truth. He is the rightness. It isn't something I do and don't do. No, I'm resting in that relationship that makes it true and makes it right. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore, chapter 6 of Ephesians, what are we up against? Well, going to verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery, the hoodwink us, to deceive us, to be able to stand against, underline in your mind, the wiles of the devil. You've got to stand, it's there, but you've got to stand against it. Sliding down to verse 13, wherefore, take unto you, no, I'm going to, before I do that, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. So we got to stand against the wiles, the trickery, the devil deceiving us. We've got to stand against the devil's senses, the whole satanic system that is running the whole world system, leaving God totally out. We've got to trust God, and we're having to what? We have to stand against, which is all around us, against the powers, against the principality and powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We've got to stand against it all. Verse 13, wherefore, in the light of the warfare that's out of our hands and out of our reach, because we don't have any weaponry, we don't have any way to cope with the demons and God of this world, devil himself. There's no way us little guys sitting, being, can cope with darkness, with evil. We can't fix evil. We can't make it go away. It's there. Never goes away. All right, now, so God, what are we going to do? Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. And the verb to withstand is to stand against, to resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, we aren't trying to take over and fix the whole thing, because it isn't our job to fix the whole thing, and God isn't fixing the whole thing at this point. He's saving people out of it. That's what he's doing. He isn't fixing anything. So you need to know that. So we got to go and fix them. No, we aren't going to fix anything. We're going to do our best we can to be a holy influence, a helpful influence, especially in our country that has the Declaration Constitution and has something to work with. So we have something. We aren't in the other systems. We have this one, and we're trying to have it a little better at this point in history. So here we are looking, God, and we need to cope. We need to do so. But it's over our heads. So therefore, we put on the whole armor of God. That's when God said, what do you mean, put the whole armor of God? Make sure you understand that you are part of the system. God saved us and crucified us. Reckon yourself dead so that what? You can enjoy your new life in Christ. God has given you a whole new relationship to God in Christ, and the Spirit of God is going to exercise it so that what you can enjoy being saved. You're in a dark world, but he's the God of light. 1 John 1:7, we're to walk in the light as he is in the light. That's what we do. We don't fix anything. We try to be a holy influence, a happy influence on the world. I'm not that influence. I'm just like them. But Christ in us makes it possible for us to show forth his marvelous saving grace that saves us out of the system. Now, having said that, to withstand, we aren't trying to take more ground. We aren't trying to get it. We aren't trying to save anything. In fact, God tells you, I'm going to get rid of everything, including your body. Flesh and blood cannot, 1 Corinthians 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Well, I'm going to save my house. I'm going to save my special jewelry. No, you're not going to save anything. You're going to leave it all. You bring nothing in, and it is certain, 1 Timothy 6, you're going to take nothing out. So, I'm not trying to save anything. I'm making you a new creature, and everything you have is in me, in you. You're right. Everything you need is in you, in me. I want you to exercise that. But you're in a world, and you can't make it better. You can try to do things and suggest things as a citizen of these United States, and you should do that. But you aren't going to win when you're all done. You can't win. It's the world system. You can't beat it. You can be saved out of it. So, God, what are you going to do? We're going to go and stand in it. We can't go. How am I going to stand? The resist coming in. How am I going to do it? Ephesians 6:15. And you will note, stand therefore. Now, sign down to verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, help me with that. Okay. So therefore, your feet are shod. All of this is you should have all of this on. It isn't something you have to hunt for, look in the drawer for, or hang in the closet. You don't have to hunt for it. It's in Christ. Christ in you is all of this. It's the armor of God. It's the whole thing is right here. So I don't have to go anywhere. So as you're reading the verbs, chapter 6, you already have this. You already have the loin, the truth. You already have the breastplate of righteousness. You already have your feet shod. Well, what does that mean in the light of the conditions? We aren't trying to take anything, but everything is against darkness. John 1:1 hates light, is against it, that wants to keep us, to keep the believer carnal, fleshly, so you don't be showing that God, you keep your old nature so that we all look the same. You look the same as everybody else. Now, so, verse 15, and your feet shod, sandaled, so here's your feet, and its middle voice, you do it. Now, what do you mean, you do it? Let me just go over, if I can, to Mark and chapter 6. The Gospel of Mark and chapter 6. And in Mark and chapter 6, going, if I can, to verse 9. You'll catch it. Up, Lord Jesus. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, principalities and powers. We're going to invade their territory. What are we doing invading their territory? I want to tell them, I've died for you and you can be saved. They went up village after village to tell the people. Remember. Now, hang on to that. Verse 8, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no script, no bread, no money in their purse. They have nothing in their wallet. Zero. But, verse 9, be shod, there's your little word, be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. You can have shoes, but don't take two pair of underwear. You can have your shoes. You'll need your shoes to go. You'll need them. Now, and going back and can't have to do it all, just you can begin to think about it. Not now. Exodus chapter 40, etc. Deuteronomy. What do we know about Israel? Numbers. They spent 40 years in the wilderness, and they weren't on grassy golf course. They were in the wilderness, sand, rock, rough, and they had shoes, and the shoes never wore out for 40 years, and they're in them day and night, and their shoes never wore out. If you ask me, and their clothes never wore out. It just nothing ever happened. They never got sick. They never got sick. God was there. You would think they would have got said, man, get excited about God. God, you're awesome. But they didn't. They didn't do that. Now, so therefore, make your shoes and take everything. Make sure your shoes. Do it again. Over to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. And Acts in chapter 12. Acts in chapter 12. Picking up, if I may. Remember Peter? Peter's in jail. And verse 6. 12:6 of the book of Acts. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Boy, Peter, you must have been something to have one man on each side of you, and you're chained to each one of them. Man, that's really locked in. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So here is Peter trying to sleep with a man on each side of him, and here are the prison guards at the door. Now, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. I said, get up, Peter, wake up, and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. You put on your own shoes. I can take the chains off. I can keep the guards silent. I can make them powerless. But I want you to do what you can do. Put your shoes on. You can do that. You're a new creature in Christ. And you can go and put on the whole armor of God. You don't have to, but you can. And it's up to you to put it on. I'm not going to put this on for you. You put it on. You put this on. You want to wear it? If you're saved, wear it. Put on the whole armor of God. If you don't want to, then live like the rest of them. Take your pick. Now, having said that, have your feet shod. In that chapter 6 and in verse 15. Verse 6, having your feet shod. And here in the verse 15, the sandals are military. The Roman generals and leaders didn't wear them. Only the fighting men wore these sandals. These sandals were studded on the bottom, ribbed sandals, and they had broad nails on the cleats on the bottom of those shoes. That's what they had. So the cleats are not just anything. Shoes aren't anything. These are cleated shoes, sandals. Why is it cleated? Because if you just have a smooth shoe, you slide. You need cleated shoes. Why? To what? To withstand, to resist the push that is being made. And you can just remember the pictures I've seen, or you read them, of the Roman army. And they all line up and position themselves. Their shoes locked in. They're made not to slip. Otherwise, the whole thing could be pushed back easy. It's hard to push them back because their shoes are studded with nails, this kind of thing. And they're locked in. They're locked in. What are you telling us, God? I want you to go and put on your sandals. I want you to have your sandals on. You cannot withstand against the wiles of the devil. You cannot resist what's being done. The temptations, buy this, do this, advertisement, everything everywhere, trying to sell you something, be something, do something that may not be in order. But what it's doing is it's governing your life. And like we just shared this morning in Sunday school and that, and someone helped me with it, you have to understand, in the process, everything is against, everything wants to keep this alive. So, if I have it right, you have an iPad, you have an iPhone, you have an iWatch, you are an I. That's your world. Everything is in your watch and your pad and your phone. And everything is there, so you don't have to grow up. You don't have to know how to tell time. You don't have to spell. You don't have to do it. You don't even have to write. You just tell the thing, whatever it is, I need this, I say that. How do you think I do you think I should go to bed now? You can do whatever you want. And you got it all. And then we said you got to add to that the awesome, awesome thing that's happening. Not it's going to happen. It's there. Artificial intelligence is already controlling and developing personal in your personal life. And you'll have to catch up. Because if you got an iPhone and an iPad and an iWatch, you're going to need an i whatever. You're going to need an AI. And you probably already have AI on your phone, don't you? You already have it on your phone. So you want to know something? I'd like to have a message. I would have done that tonight, but I didn't have my iPhone. What should I speak on tonight, God? I ask God what to speak on. And the iPhone looks up and says, it gives me a wonderful little message, and I can come out and give it to you. And it's a wonderful life it is. Now, you got the idea? Put on the whole armor of God. Put on your shoes so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. You're not going to be able to resist. He's going to push. And if you don't have your shoes on, you're going to slide right back. That's what you're going to do. You don't mean to. In order to fight, you have to have your shoes on. And they're cleated. They're cleated to what? Because you're up against principalities and powers. And you aren't going to do this on your lonesome. No, you're fighting darkness. Not just the person or a political problem or a work problem or a politic or whatever it is. You aren't fighting that. You're fighting the system that's behind it, that's pushing it. And you got to see that. So put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do it. And your feet shod. Oh, you got to do it. Boy. Now, I got your feet. Where are your feet? Verse 20, 15. And your feet shod with a preparation, with a readiness, to be established, to be prepared, eternal, a firm, a basis, a foundation, a firm footing. That's the word preparation. Make sure your feet give you firm footing. So you don't, no matter what you're standing in, mud or on cement, your feet are resting in what? your shoes, you're resting in the firm foundation, your feet shod with those cleats. You're resting down on the gospel of peace, the wonderful truth of God's saving grace. God saved you, and what are you resting on? You're resting on God's wonderful person. You're resting on it. Boom. And they're going to have to push this. They have to push this. They'll have to push him. You can push me. You can't push him. You can't push him. So God, what are you telling me? Make sure your feet in these shoes are made for you to have a firm, solid foundation, and you're resting. What's the firm, solid foundation? It's the gospel, the peace of God, the wonderful peace of God that keeps you, and our time is gone. You getting it? That's what gives it. I've got to quit. But in doing so, let me do it a little different way in doing as we're closing. Over, if I can, to Ephesians. God, what are you doing for us? You're doing everything. So God, this wonderful, the firm footing, the foundation, we'll have to get back to it. Now, Ephesians, in chapter 1 and in verse 6. To the praise, 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored in the beloved. Do you see the little word, two words? To the praise of the glory of whose grace? His grace. His grace. Over if we would, and over in verse 13. To whom he also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, you were sealed Holy Spirit of promise. So God, you've gone and given us a wonderful, wonderful thing. And God, we're going to go and look to you in the light of that. So in verse 12 is where I wanted, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Over in verse 6, his grace. Verse 12, his glory. That's what we're to be. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints in your life. God has invested himself in Christ, in you. So God says, put on the whole armor of God. Make sure you put on Jesus Christ. You don't have to keep the old nature always up front. You need to go and thank God that he's made you a new creature in Christ, and you ought to be a new creature and exercise it. That's what you need to do. So God, you got to help us. Why do you want to help us, God? Why do you want us to do this? Because you can't enjoy the relationship that I make possible. You can't enjoy it this way. You have to enjoy it this way. Otherwise, you can't have it. You don't have it. I'm a believer. You may, but you don't have it. You don't have it. You have to be what? Abiding. Branch, abide in the tree. You got to be abiding. What's you got to do? What's so hard about that? You can do that. I have to let Jeanette do what she does. And I don't know what she does. She does what she does. And I just do what I do. And somehow we're still here. What can I tell you? I have to let God do what he does. I can't do what he does. He has to do what he does. I have to trust him. And we do what we do. That's what we do. I live in the system. I live in darkness the same as you do. I live in the same hostile world, same as you do. But God saves us. I want to be trusting and thanking God for saving me. Otherwise, I'm trying to enjoy God by my old nature. Think of Sunday school, and you can't enjoy God in your old nature. You try, but you can't do it. Now, I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. But God, make sure the shoes are on. Make sure your shoes. Make sure you're trusting the whole armor of God, from your loins to your breast to your feet. Make sure you put on the whole armor. And that's what we're looking at. And I hope it's helpful to do it. Otherwise, you go through those verses and they don't mean much to you. You have to understand them. Why would God spend time telling you, John 14:20, like we said, I am in you, I am in my Father is in me, in this little verse 20, and I am in you. Now you couldn't get smaller words if you tried. I am in you, you're in me. And that's where it is. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to exercise it. And you can't exercise it unless you have the whole armor of God on. Unless you understand. It isn't just truth and righteousness. You've got to stand against it. And it's coming at you. You better have your shoes on. You better have your shoes on. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. So we look to you to help us in every way. Here we are. And we'll thank you very, very, very much for all things, even this. Help us to get through on with an understanding. And God, thank you very much that we can understand because you'll help us understand. So thank you very much for doing so. And our God, we want to be a strong, vibrant remnant waiting for your return. And our God will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.